Welcome to Alaska. Here's $1,000.
Well, it's about time.
Live from Joe's mom's half-finished basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey there, money nerds. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and today we're talking about sex. Oh, yeah. Finally something right up here in my wheelhouse. Son of a bitch. It's not that. God, it. Okay, sorry, folks. False alarm. We're talking about the difference between the sexes when it comes to saving and investing. Boring. Here to help us, from Fidelity Investments, the Senior Vice President of Women Investors, Alexandra Tosic. And in our headline segment, financial planners are urging clients to stay calm. Plus, we'll throw out the Haven Lifeline to Jeremiah, who's wondering our thoughts about a certain life insurance policy. And we answer a letter from Chris, who asks about helping her mom invest. And now here they are, two guys who do anything to help out mom, especially if there's ice cream involved, Joe and O-J-J-J-J-G.
I'm all about the ice cream.
I was about the first thing that you talked about.
What's that? Men and women investing? Oh, the other
before
other.
That, before the, that.
Other thing.
The other thing.
Hey, everybody. I'm all about Stacking Benjamins, man. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday. You made it halfway through the week and you found the show. So happy that you're here with us because we've got a great show. I am Average Joe Money on Twitter. Joe Saul Sehy is my name. And across the table from me is the guy we refer to simply as the other guy, or OG.
And I'm also on Twitter, but I don't have a cool Twitter handle, so I gotta create one of those. That's what I need to do.
You know what we gotta do? We gotta take a second, OG, and talk about how you can start earning passive income by investing in rental properties through Roofstock, don't we? Isn't that what we really have to do?
I definitely need to, actually.
Roofstock's an online marketplace for buying and selling tenant-occupied homes. And whether you're in California or New York, Roofstock makes it efficient and hassle-free to diversify your portfolio and invest from anywhere in high-yield markets like Atlanta or Memphis. They lay all the property reports and financials at your fingertips and even connect you with vetted local property managers for hassle-free ownership. Every property is thoroughly vetted by the Roofstock certification team, so you know it's in good condition with a reliable tenant in place. Best of all, Roofstock certified properties are backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Where else are you going to buy real estate and get a 30-day money-back guarantee?
I like those odds.
That's pretty good. Roofstock, property investing made simple. Visit StackingBenjamins.com/Roofstock to learn more about rental home investing and browse exclusive listings today. I love going through the Roofstock listings because they tell me the rate of return I can get on any house and they show me where they're at. I mean, it is just a great place to see people buying, people selling. Man, if you're into rental real estate, what I like also is that they'll help with as much or as little as you need. And also another place helping you with those financial tools you use every day, StackingBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. Because Magnify Money is the place where you can comparison shop those financial tools you use every day more reliably than any other place. In fact, you can look at more of them than any other place. So let's do this right now. I'm going to StackingBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. And let's take a look at personal loans. Let's say we're trying to get our house in order, OG, and we want to refinance our personal loan debt. Let's say I've got an excellent credit score. I need $5,000. They say that the number one place to go is LendingTree, A+, and maximum loan size $35,000. Origination fee varies, minimum 500 FICO score. Next is SoFi at A+, and they tell you the number of months. They tell you the APR range. Lightstream is up there, Lending Club. So you get them all, like from top to bottom, man.
From soup to nuts.
Very easy. And whether it's a personal loan, checking account, savings account, CD rates, low interest rate, credit cards, 0% credit cards, cashback credit cards, whatever you're looking for.
Any kind of credit card.
Small business loan, taking care of that student loan debt, StackingBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. We are firing this show up into high gear because, man, we got a great show. Men versus women, cats and dogs living together. It's going to be crazy, OG.
Perfect harmony.
But first, We've got some headlines. That might be a little over the top.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
First headline comes to us from financialplanning.com, the place where financial planners get all their nerdy financial planning news, you know?
Some of their nerdy financial planning.
Some of it. Yeah, this is by Harry Terrace. And Harry says, planners urge discipline as clients chase gains.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Buoyant stock markets and strong economic fundamentals have pushed client risk tolerance higher, according to Financial Planning's latest Retirement Advisor Confidence Index. The index is looking high. I'm looking at the chart right here, and we'll link to this at stackingbenjamins.com. Investor confidence, or at least the instinct to get in on the upswing, accelerated the pace of equity inflows, and growth in assets under management in turn pushed retirement service fees higher. Here's the funny thing.
Woo!
The market's been on the upswing for 8+ years.
Yeah. Are they just figuring it out?
And people are finally going, hey, now might be the time.
I think we might want to get in now.
It was a 0.5% monthly gain to 54.1. I don't even know what these numbers mean on the index.
It means it's greater than 53.6.
That's right. Makes it 54.1, by the way, is the client risk tolerance. And by the way, if it's above...
That means they want to have 54% of their money in equities. Is that what that means?
No. Any reading above 50 means that people think there's improving business conditions and that life is going to get better for stocks. Below 50 means they think it's going to deteriorate.
Right on. Okay.
It was highest in December. It went up to 66.
Is this a leading indicator or a trailing indicator? What'd you say?
Well, I'd say this is a trailing indicator, wouldn't you? Because we're surveying people.
I guess that's pretty obvious then. Hold on. I need my sunglasses. The blinding flash of the obvious.
What are you thinking about? Yeah. With stock market gains lifting clients' net worth, however, there's plenty of money in motion. Flows in equities, bonds, and cash instruments continue to grow. There's nothing good here. I mean, I'm with planners. Stay calm. Stick to the plan, man. If the plan calls for more equities, put in more equities. But that doesn't mean it should be accelerating, really.
I bought Amazon stock at $6 a share. No, you didn't. You bought it at $960 a share. That you did. Don't do that stuff.
No.
Don't chase. Don't chase.
So horrible. Because you know what? You end up like this guy in our next headline. Second headline comes to us from the independent.co.uk. Instagram millionaire Gianluca Vacchi. I guess that's how you pronounce his last name.
That's definitely. Sounds like we should have Devin Carroll of
Big Picture
French fame.
Yeah.
To translate that for us.
I'm sure he'll get this name right. He got all those French phrases right.
Yeah.
His yachts and property seized by the bank. Social media reacts with glee after report that hedonism-loving playboy has encountered financial trouble. Check this guy out.
That is some ink work, man.
Guy's got...
Dude, you wish you could look like that at 50.
Yeah, but the tattoos are not the big part. So it says, a 50-year-old millionaire known for posting pictures of his luxurious lifestyle on social media has been parodied mercilessly on the internet following reports some of his assets have been seized by creditors. He's gathered 11 million followers on Instagram by sharing snaps of his lavish lifestyle. We'll link to this in the show notes, but you'll see, you know, pictures of palaces and then him sitting by a pool. That picture kind of grosses me out. And then him like
what is he wearing?
I know. I mean,
besides the banana hammock.
Yeah. Yeah. Pictures with models, pictures of him on airplanes.
I'm going to follow this dude on Insta, man. I wonder what his Insta stories are like. They're probably crazy.
But this proves again that there's looking like you have a lot of money and having a lot of money. Not the same thing, OG.
Oh, I found a favorite picture that you must like. That's damn near see-through.
the one of him.
This one is. He's in the water and it's, come on. You know, you're not supposed to wear a white bathing suit in the water. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, the dude's a little needy, don't you think?
Yeah, it's cool. We got it. You got some testosterone injections and some HGH. We understand.
Yeah.
Might you tell. Nice frosted tips there, dude.
Might be a little addicted to what other people think. But let's go back to the main point here, OG.
His frosted tips.
But back to the point, OG, that looking
a little pathetic.
Well, looking like you have money and needing to look like you have money versus having money when your stuff being seized by creditors. You know, maybe you secure your financial house first and then you take pictures second.
I'm the one who definitely looks like they don't have money. I haven't shaved in a week. Look at that.
I mean, I'm not going to second guess his needing it. You know, whatever you want to do when it comes to the pictures and the models.
So you're saying that it's
whatever. Better
to actually have money than pretend to have money.
I would say so. Yes.
I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. That guy from the,
yeah, because now at this point, this dude who looks like he lives the lifestyle of the rich and famous and it's all falling down around him. Okay, yeah. Great. How great is this now, dude? How fantastic is this?
Fun. Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, you made yourself and you know what? A narcissist probably going to do that, but not, you know, I love that book, The Millionaire Next Door, about how you never know who the people are. And when I was a financial planner, my richest clients, you would have never known how much money those people had.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you.
It was fantastic. And there's nothing wrong with living going and doing some fun stuff, living a great lifestyle. But I don't know, when it's being seized, you're probably
might overshot the landing.
Just a little bit. So I think the lessons here, number one is don't overshoot the landing. And number two is when it comes to stocks, why are you accelerating, putting more money into stocks now? Stay the course, start with your financial plan and work from there. Fidelity's out with an amazing study. What they did was they took all of their data, right, from male and female investors and looked at what they did. And then they surveyed people to see what people actually thought. And it was fantastic. Alexander Tosic, she's a senior vice president at Fidelity. And she is coming down to the basement to talk to us about men and women and investing. And Alexander Tosic joins us in the basement. Have a seat. How are you?
Great. It's fantastic to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, this is a really interesting study that you did at Fidelity, Alexandra. And it's amazing, just the findings. How, before I get into what the findings were, how did you come up with the findings? Did you go back through Fidelity's records of like 401k plans and money you manage? How did you find out the differences between women and men in investing?
So we actually did two things. The first thing we did was a survey to kind of get the lay of the land, all right? And the survey asked men and women, who do you think is a better investor, men or women in general? Okay, and then the second thing we did, to your point, Joe, is we have millions and millions of investors across the 401k business, 403b, which is tax-exempt retirement, and retail investors. So we went through that huge data set and actually figured out who was a better investor. So I'm going to hold the suspense till you ask me the question.
which we're going to lead with that. We're going to do maybe the wrong thing. We should keep people till the very end. But let's start off. So who's better, Alexandra, women or men?
Okay, so the first thing is from the survey, 9% of women said women are better investors. 42% of men said men are better investors, and the rest, about 50%, said, I don't think either one. I think I don't have an opinion.
Yeah.
So four times as many men said men. Okay, drum roll, please. Women are better. All right. And not only are women better investors, but they're actually better savers too. So it's kind of a double whammy, if you will. So when we went through all of the Fidelity data, what we found was women save about 40 basis points, which is kind of, you know, financial mumbo jumbo. But what that really means is 0.4% every single year, women save that much more. All right. And then you add that with the fact that they get about 40 basis points, 0.4% better investment return. And so that doesn't sound like that much. But when you actually kind of do case studies, if you will, which is what we did. We kind of ran different scenarios with different salaries and different time horizons. The combining those two things makes a huge difference over time. So, you know, up to having about 8% more money if you're not investing for a super long time, to having 15% more money if you're investing over a long number of years. So it's really pretty significant, and I think, which is great, number one. And number two was it was so interesting because it was exactly what the survey data did not predict. Because yeah. everyone who took the survey thought that men were better investors. And I think that's the kind of common thinking out there.
I was just looking at some data about multimillionaires that showed that the vast majority of multimillionaires are white males. How come 9% of women thought that they were better investors and the rest didn't? Why such a low number, do you think?
So we actually usually equate it to that study that you've seen where if a a job description crosses my desk, okay, I will say, oh my gosh, I only can do 50% of that. And this is obviously we're generalizing here, but in general, women will say, focus on the fact that 50% of the qualifications I don't have, therefore I'm not going to apply. Whereas men tend to be much more kind of glass half full, aggressive, confident, I would say. And so the same job description crosses their desk and they say, oh my gosh, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to ace this interview. I'm going to negotiate the salary. So I think that it's kind of the same thing when it comes to investing. So I do a lot of speaking on this, and so many women come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I didn't want to come to this. I thought I was doing everything wrong, and I'm doing everything you said I should be doing. I'm actually doing a really good job. So it's just this kind of lack of confidence, I would say. And the other thing we see often is we do a couple study every 2 years where we ask both members of the couple, how do you share decision making when it comes to investing in finances? And often only about 25% of women say they're either the primary decision maker or a primary decision maker. So what we call that is you're in the front seat. Okay.
Yeah.
Too often women are in the back seat. All right. So they don't know what's going on. As I say, they can't take over the wheel. And 90% of the time, women are going to be solely responsible for the money in the household, either through death or divorce. And so many times I hear women come up to me, friends and family, that something happens to their spouse or partner, and all of a sudden they're thrust into this position. I've had a friend who didn't know what the mortgage was, didn't know how to access the bank account. And so we're just so interested at Fidelity and committed to getting women in the front seat, as soon as possible, and not having to wait till they're forced into that. And you have all these other, things going on in your life that you're dealing with, in addition to trying to learn about finances and investing, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to be. You've been in the back seat for a long time, and you also, like you said, don't have the confidence that you're going to do it right. And all of a sudden you're in charge. That's a bad place to become the skipper.
It's a really, really bad place. And one of the other things we like to say is, we've got a lot on our plate. Everyone has a lot on their plate. So a lot of times you do this kind of division of labor. All right. So, the one partner does one thing, the other partner does the other. And too often, one partner does the money and investing. All right. What we say is you cannot do a division of labor there. For example, God forbid if something happened to my husband, he does all the car stuff. Like, I'm very confident that I could figure out the car stuff. Like, I wouldn't do it myself. He doesn't do it himself, but I could have a conversation. I could hold my own with, a mechanic, et cetera. But, when people, the money and the finances and the investing, you can't catch up. Like, that's just not an easy thing. And a good friend of mine came to me and he said, Alexandra, you're not going to believe this. It's exactly what you always talk about. This friend of his dropped dead at age 43. The wife said, I don't know anything. I don't know if we're going to lose our house. I don't know. I have no idea where we are. And she just started telling all her friends, you need to be having these conversations. And essentially, you need to get into the front seat this doesn't happen to you, because you can imagine how devastating that is for that to happen to her to begin with. And then on top of it, have this terrible financial uncertainty just magnifies it so much more.
I love the idea of couples doing it together anyway, and even people having accountability partners, because I think that it gets everybody on top of their money. But what I want to focus on next is there's clearly traits then that you saw at Fidelity, Alexandra, that are the reasons why women are better savers and the reasons why they're better investors. Because obviously men and women can both learn from that, right?
Exactly. And so one thing I just want to say, Joe, is we want this whole thing to be inclusive, not exclusive at all.
Right.
So in other words, like men are completely part of this solution. So first of all, there are many men who are in the back seat. So we want them in the front seat too. And then if they are in the front seat, like we really want those men to help bring in their moms and daughters and sisters and wives. Like I have so many men telling me, you know, I'm talking to my daughter about this. You know, my boss told me I talked to my mom about this. And that just makes me so happy. So, but to your point, yeah, there are lots of things that I think traits that women have that we can all kind of emulate to become better investors and savers. So let me talk a little bit about what those traits are.
Great.
So the first one is that women tend to start with a plan and start with their goals in mind. Okay. So as I like to say, you know, I've got three sons, Ben, Harry, and Teddy, and husband Billy. And like our goals are really simple. Billy and I want to retire and I want to get those three boys through college. So I start with that in mind. And so I am less concerned about like all these different indices. And, you know, I did have an advisor who we've since moved away from, and we go in and just go on and on about like every stock and how it was doing well. I really don't care about that, frankly, and neither did my husband. What we care about is, are we on track to send those boys to college? All right. And so I think what that enables you to do is kind of take that long-term view, that buy and hold approach. There's this book I love to quote called Warren Buffett Invests Like a Girl and Why You Should Too. And it's this idea that because we're looking long-term, we can kind of ride out the volatility. I remember I was talking to a large group of women, and there was quite a bit of volatility in the market. And the night before, they had a cocktail party for us, and people are saying, like, you're going to have to address this volatility, et cetera, et cetera. It just didn't come up because I think we realize we're going for the long-term and we're trying to hit our goals. There's no kind of competition, or no one's comparing their, you know, what are their returns are, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, like, that's why I love your show, because you're actually getting people talking about money. And too often, especially with women, it is this taboo topic. So,
well, the thing
basically,
that,
go ahead.
Well, the thing that I like too about what you're saying is that you're focusing then on the controllable, right? You can control the goal. You can't control the market and the volatility in the market.
Exactly. Exactly. You're controlling, and then you're controlling how you're investing. And so, and women tend to, you know, be better invested, kind of having their investments meet the goal, so to speak. So we don't go too heavily into equities. So we're more apt to be in target date funds. Women as a whole trade fewer stocks, but we tend to be more in mutual funds, and we trade them less frequently. So there's just a lot less activity, and usually less activity, as the book says, you know, kind of that buy and hold Warren Buffett approach tends to work. And to your point earlier, Joe, that's something that I think a lot of people can emulate as they think about their investing approach.
That's fantastic. But they're also better savers. Is that because generally women live longer and they know it?
Well, so that is a good point. So we live longer, and so we do need more. I'm not quite sure why we're better savers. So we haven't done as much research into that. We didn't do that in the survey. You know, are men better savers or women? But I think it would have been the same finding, that everyone would have said, oh, women, we have this reputation for spending so much money, but we save more too. So that's good. I think we just know. I think it may be stem from that kind of the same place. Like, we need a better cushion to feel comfortable, perhaps.
The funny thing, I'm looking at a study, and I'll link to this in our show notes at stackybenjamins.com for everyone. Does this say what I think it says, Alexandra? It doesn't matter what time frame people started, whether it was 22, 30, 40, or 50, that women in each of those age groups were better savers? Or is that just showing that
yeah,
depending on the age group, the difference that they'll have over a lifetime?
No. So that's, yeah. So women across all of those age groups are better savers.
Wow.
And so that graphic is just showing how much of a difference the 40 basis points makes over the different number of years and the different salaries.
That's a, it's a over a quarter of $1 million if it's comparing two 22-year-olds. It's $35,000, which is nothing to sneeze at age 50. That's a huge difference.
Right. And that's why we actually showed these scenarios, because 0.4% sounds like nothing. Right. But kind of when you put all those investing tricks to work for you, regular investing, you know, having the proper amount in stocks and time, it makes a huge $35,000 to $276,000 difference. So that is what our message really is to women. Ditch the doubt, okay? That 9% number, I don't want to see that 9% number again. I want women to embrace the fact that they are strong savers and strong investors and, you know, lean in and own it. So many times, I remember talking to a nurse who was scared to go in to talk to someone. You know, we were her 403B provider, scared to go in and talk to someone because she just very apprehensive, didn't think she'd ever be able to retire. She went in and the person ran her numbers and said, like, you are ready to retire today.
Cool.
And so it's this idea of leaning in, understanding that many of us are good at this, leaning in and owning it and ditching the doubt. And think of like the, the stress and anxiety that can free up if you are doing all the right things. And it just kills me when people are doing the right things, but for some reason, they're feeling like they're not. And then they're feeling this anxiety. And you hear these stories about the nurse who can retire. And I'm like, she probably has been feeling badly about it for 2 years.
Right, right. I can't. Oh, yeah. You have a bunch of resources at Fidelity Investments that people can use to get more educated. And obviously that makes people more confident. Tell me about those.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So as I said, this is something we are really committed to at Fidelity, is to get women and men in the front seat. And so a couple of things. First of all, many people have their retirement plans through Fidelity. We offer free guidance at the workplace if you invest through us that way. We also have a wonderful website. It's called fidelity.com/itstime. All right. And so this is really focused on many of these things I'm talking about. It will talk because often what triggers women to get into the front seat are these life events. So whether you're getting married, having a baby, getting a divorce, it's really focused around those different life events and what you need to do financially. So check out fidelity.com/itstime. The other thing, you can always give us a call, 1-800-FIDELITY. We have investor centers all over the country. And also on fidelity.com, we have a lot of tools and things like that as well. So lots of resources, and all free. We would love to help your listeners as they continue on their journey. And what we always say is take that next best financial step, whatever that is, and then take the next one and the next one, and pretty soon you've built that muscle memory, just like working out, and that confidence starts to build.
That reminds me of, there's that crazy song for runners. You might not have heard it, that one, put one foot in front of the other. You know that song?
Right. Exactly. And so I think too often, you know, we think, oh my gosh, like I've got to get this whole thing straightened out in a day or a week or a month. It's just do the one next best thing. You know, maybe it's increasing your 401k by 1%. Maybe it's, you know, you've had a baby, opening a 529 plan, whatever that is. But after you take 3 or 4 or 5 steps, you start to feel like, okay, I'm kind of getting this and it's getting under control. And it's really those good financial habits. It's so similar to like just staying healthy and exercise and eating right. And as you know, I was listening to one of your shows, Joe, about a train wreck. You know, everyone has stories of credit card debt and cashing out 401ks. But as long as you put the right financial habits in place and do the right things more often than the wrong things, that's what you need to do to be financially successful.
Alexander Taussig from Fidelity, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey everyone, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and after that fantastic discussion, let's march into something even a step better, your trivia. Based on a study from March of this year, which state has the lowest effective state and local tax rates on a median U.S. household? Don't you often drive down the highway wondering exactly that? Well, good news, because I'll have your trivia prayers answered right after this.
Hey, Stackers, we get used to those same daily routines, don't we? Wake up at the same time every morning, brush our teeth, park the car in the same spot at work every day, recite jokes in the mirror to be funnier than that jerk at the water cooler. Or is that what just me? Here's one thing you shouldn't make routine: using the same credit card from the same bank just because that's what you've always done. Nick Clements from Magnify Money explains why.
I mean, it's never been a better time, honestly, to find a credit card, especially given the lucrative sign-on bonuses that are out there. Chase just recently had $100,000 on their reserve card. I think we're at a point right now where credit cards are extremely profitable for large banks, and they are really wanting to get more customers, and so they're rolling out the red carpet. So I would just say, if you have had a credit card for more than 2 or 3 years, chances are there's a much better deal out there for you today.
So why stick with that same old card with those rewards that haven't changed in years? You can use MagnifyMoney.com to always find best in class, including better interest rates. And don't only use Magnify Money for credit cards. Nick and the team have built the site from the ground up to help with personal loans, student loans, and mortgages. Average person saves $450 in interest when they hit stackybenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. Here's a question. What's keeping you away from investing in real estate? Well, over my career, I repeatedly hear that time, you know, the time it takes to find renters, property managers, and to fix problems, and stress. What if you don't find a good property manager? What if you don't find a renter? Those are two of the biggest factors keeping people away from investing in real estate. We talked to Gary Beasley, CEO of Roofstock, about how the team at Roofstock are helping you take back a good night's sleep.
There's really no way to sell real estate today, rental homes with tenants in place. What we did with Roofstock was create the first way to do it.
How's that for an advantage? Roofstock's online marketplace makes it easier than ever to buy, sell, and own tenant-occupied investment properties in top rental markets across the country. You own the house, but Roofstock handles as much or as little of the headache-inducing issues that you've come to expect with renting, but that doesn't have to happen if you partner with the right team. Best of all, Roofstock certified properties are backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Check them out at stackybenjamins.com/roofstock. That's stackybenjamins.com/roofstock.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back from the break. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. I think the pizza guy's at the door upstairs, so let's get straight to the point. Your trivia answer. Here was the question. Which state has the lowest effective state and local tax rates on a median U.S. household? The answer? Well, if you said Alabama, congratulations! You're the proud recipient of a genuine pat on the back with feeling. And that's not all. You'll also receive a "We're glad you participated" virtual handshake because you, my friend, are super mucho rongo. The right answer? Alaska. They came in at a low 5.46% tax rate. But here's the real question about Alaska. How come there's a giant quarantine around that state? You know, like maps always show Alaska in the middle of the ocean with that giant box around it. What are you trying to hide, Alaska? Has anyone actually ever met someone who's visited Alaska? Yeah, my point exactly. We're on to you, Alaska. But back to taxes. We'll have a link to the tax rate study in the show notes if you're interested in how your state compares to the rest of the country or you're just having trouble sleeping. See ya!
And swinging a miss.
Yeah, sorry.
Once he said Alaska, there's so many people living out in the wilderness in Alaska. You know, you're not inside the city limits, so.
So my vision of Alaska, is you remember watching the Simpsons movie?
Yes.
And they went to Alaska and he pulls up and the guy's like, "Hello, welcome to Alaska. Here's your $1,000 per person." And Homer goes, "About time." Like literally he's at the border. The guy's giving him $1,000 per person. And he's like all peed off because it's just taking so long.
Took him 35 seconds to get there.
It's awesome.
Hey, let's throw out the Haven Lifeline and tackle some of life's, or rather life insurance's, most important questions. Our friends at Haven Life Insurance Agency, they're disrupting life insurance industry by focusing on what you value most.
Today happens to be Crown and Seven.
Crown and Seven. No, it's your family and your time. They were the first life insurance startup that's also wholly owned by industry giant Mass Mutual to create a high quality, affordable term life insurance policy you can purchase entirely online. And we can't understate that. And we've been understating that lately, haven't we? Purchasing it all online.
So smooth.
Qualified healthy applicants, they get to skip the medical exam. That doesn't happen, folks. You don't get to skip the medical exam. With Haven Life, you do. But you got to be qualified and healthy. So head to stackybenjamins.com/Haven Life now to get a free quote and to learn about life insurance the modern way and the much, much quicker way. So if you value family and time, that's what we're going to do. All right. We're throwing out the Haven Lifeline today to our new friend, Jeremiah. Say hello, Jeremiah.
Hey, Joe and OG. This is Jeremiah here in Yonkers, New York. I just was listening to another podcast about money and heard something about an indexed universal life insurance policy, which I'm pretty sure the two of you are going to have many, many things to talk about or to say about it. So, just wanted to get y'all's opinions and see if maybe there was something that I didn't understand about this thing that makes it somehow different from a regular universal life insurance policy. Yeah, thanks. Bye.
I think Jeremiah's a pot stirrer. I think Jeremiah's listened to the show for a while and went, oh, you know what we can get them.
I got a good one.
You know what we can get them ranting about is indexed universal life insurance policy.
Cool. All right. Two different types of life insurance out there in the world. Generally speaking, term insurance, which has a specified amount. That's the stuff that Haven sells, right? So 10-year term, 20-year term, 30-year term, whatever. And you know, specified dollar amount. And then you've got permanent insurance, which presumably lasts forever. The difference between the two is the amount of premiums that you put in, right? So with term insurance, you're just paying for the cost of insurance. And if you don't die during the term, that's it. Policy over. With whole life or universal life or index UL or VUL or SUL or SVUL or any one of these ULs, you're going to pay the cost of insurance, but you're also going to pay extra money. Ostensibly, you're paying the extra money to build up a cash position so that at some point in time when the cost of insurance is really high, like imagine if you had $1 million life insurance policy and you're 97 years old, how much would the cost of insurance be that year? Freaking dang near $1 million probably, right? Like there's pretty good odds that you're going to have to fight the big one. So you got to build this cash value so that ostensibly you've got enough cash to pay the extra cost, right? So, later on in life.
So it will last your whole life. Mm-hmm.
And so they got to pay some interest along the way and that sort of thing, which is totally cool. And so the different types of policies have different interest crediting ways that they do it, right? So whole life policy has a fixed interest rate. Universal life is fixed. Variable life, you can invest in sub accounts, which look a lot like mutual funds, but really expensive ones. Index UL. So what is that? And is it any different than a plain UL? Well, of course it is, because it's an index UL. Duh. No, I'm just kidding. An index UL operates like this.
How's it different? It's indexed. Next question.
So it works just like this. Instead of giving you a fixed interest rate like a UL would or a whole life policy, you bet the farm on an index or a collection of indexes. Think S&P 500, NASDAQ, whatever. And they have some really weird ones in there, usually like the gold index or the, you know, God knows what index. And they look at the value of the index on day one. So let's say that you bought the policy today. In 365 days from now, they look at the value of the index. They divide it out. And if the index went up, you get what it went up. Now, but here's the asterisk, and this is where they sell you on it. They go, well, here's a great thing, Joe. Here's a great thing, Jeremiah. Market goes up 12%, you get 12. Market goes down 40, you get zero. Isn't that awesome? You never get the zero. You never get below zero, which sounds super cool, except for the fact that generally speaking, these policies will have limits on them. And those are called participation rates, right? So you can participate a little bit in them. Sometimes it's 80%, sometimes it's 90%, sometimes it's 30%. And so there's a lot of different forms and functions to it. When you break it all down, however, generally speaking, on a life insurance basis, doesn't make a lot of sense. Again, permanent insurance has a purpose, very well-defined purpose in estate planning, charitable giving, all sorts of cool things like that.
Anybody who says that permanent life insurance doesn't have a purpose or is a quote ripoff doesn't understand insurance.
Exactly. But the usefulness of that kind of ends there.
Right.
Right. Like this is where this gets sold is, hey, you've maxed out your Roth. Let's fund a super Roth. Let's, you know, we're going to do this really cool thing that allows you to take, you know, okay.
No.
Just
no. Don't do it. Do not do it.
I mean, again, there are purposes to it, right? But you can list them on one hand, I think.
Yeah, not that great. Here's the thing.
That is the newest thing, by the way. Sorry, just last thing. Index ULs are the brandy new.
They're the hotness.
They are the brandy new insurance policy out there.
I got to tell you, and of course, they look good right now because when they run projections, they run them based on the last several years. And of course, we've had a nice long run up like we were talking about during the headlines. So they're like, look at what it did the last 8 years. It does that the next 8 years. Look at where you're at.
You're a gazillionaire.
You are amazing.
And then he said, I don't have to worry about money no more.
Yeah. And how many policies did you and I see crash in 2002 and 2008?
Eight, nine, ten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. Jeremiah, thanks for the question. If you've got a question for us and would like us to throw up Haven Lifeline to you, head to stackingbenjamins.com/voicemail or just go to the top of the Stacking Benjamins website and you'll see question for the show. Click that link and that'll take you right there. Second question for those of you returning from Monday. Welcome back because we are on part two of Chris's letter. Remember Chris?
Yeah, I sure do.
Chris asked a bunch of questions and now the second half is this. My last set of questions involve dealing with parents who do not have retirement accounts or any sort of investment vessels that will provide income in retirement years. My mom works in the service industry with no retirement plan and has 10 years left in the workforce about. She did have a life insurance policy for several decades, but the policy lapsed. The premiums were automatically deducted throughout the years. However, she received notice last year that her policy lapsed. The insurance company said they had sent notices about insufficient funds and a grace period notice, but we never received any correspondences. The only thing we received was the notice the policy lapsed. We tried getting the policy reinstated, but since she was older and had a long health history, it was denied. She's an extreme saver with majority of earnings and savings being kept in a low interest rate savings account. I'm considering opening up an IRA for her, but don't know what other options are available for the rest of the money. I'm also concerned with how much risk tolerance to undertake for a portfolio that may not be able to withstand the volatility of the market in the next decade. Would she benefit from a policy with Haven Life Insurance at this point? Ultimately, do you have a recommended approach as to how I should begin dealing with her financial situation to better prepare her for life after full-time work? I'm considering meeting with a financial advisor planner in the future and was hoping your responses will help me further plan out the things I may want to tackle during that session. Your advice and help is greatly appreciated. Again, thank you so much for all you, OG, and the guests do. All right, man. Taking care of mom. What do you think about taking care of mom?
This is such a touchy thing, right? I don't know how you dealt with it in your practice, but the one thing that we have to remember as kids is that everybody who raised us still looks at us as kids, right? Like you can be 60 years old and still be a kid to somebody, you know? And we had the wedding a couple of weekends ago and, you know, see all the aunts and uncles and I've got one of my uncles that says, boy, I remember changing your diaper. I was holding you at your baptism, right? So the relationship that we have with our parents and with our aunts and uncles and grandparents and things like that, it's really tough to insert yourself into their life from a responsibility standpoint, right? Because you're the kid. That doesn't mean you can't do it, but it's a little bit, you know, you got to kind of approach it really, really gently, I think. As far as what to do, 10 years is actually kind of a long time, right? It's not the world's shortest period of time. You're not retiring tomorrow afternoon. So you got some time to make the money work for you. And when it comes to timeframes in retirement, that's the other component that you've got on your side. Pretty much some of this money that you could set aside today. The hell are you doing? Why are you chewing beer?
I had an orange in my beer and the orange was coming out. So I started eating it.
That's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Folks, listen, If you're ever drinking a beer and you have to start chewing it, I don't think the beer is good anymore.
Probably not a good beer.
But apparently, Joe puts fruit in his beer, which is the craziest thing.
It's a Bell's Oberon. You got to put an orange in it.
You don't have to.
Well, you don't have to, but you should.
Yeah. Especially when you're on the other side of the card table and you look like you were gagging on the bottleneck of the beer. I couldn't figure out what was going on there. I was like, this is just the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I was trying to get that done without distracting you, but sorry.
Trying to concentrate. It failed miserably.
I know. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. Anyways, so mom's got some money to invest, perhaps. And from a time frame standpoint, yeah, she's going to need some of this in 10 years, but she might need some of it in 30 years too. And so this is where planning comes into play. When you have a plan, you can have a purpose for the money, right? You can have specific time frames for the dollars and specific time frames for the goals. And then that helps you decide on what kind of investment. So just as a filter or a filtering system, I guess, that help you whittle down all those tens of thousands of choices in which to use from an investment standpoint. Just kind of off the cuff, again, not knowing anything about the situation. You mentioned an IRA. I would look at a Roth IRA. Probably not going to get a lot of tax benefits to having the tax deduction in today's dollars. But a Roth IRA gives you, you know, if mom's over 50, gives her $6,500 to contribute this year. Right away again in January, there's another $6,500. So already we've got 13 grand set aside. And that would really be the biggest focus that I would have kind of right out the gate is if there's extra money to save, let's get it in the Roth right away.
Get it moving.
Of every year.
Yeah. And the whole question about Haven Lifeline, we absolutely love our sponsor. We asked them to sponsor the show because of that. This is not a place. Mom's 50th thing she needs is life insurance.
Like probably, right?
I don't think, like you said, we don't know anything about her. My gut feeling is this is not a situation for life. Let's not worry, but we've got a lot of stuff to worry about getting mom into retirement. Buying life insurance, not one of them.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that you have to recognize generationally it's a little bit different too. Like you might be able to look at, which is another thing that I would help out with the retirement planning, is I would sit with her and look up her Social Security benefits. Let's make sure that you get as much benefit as you can and contrast that against current living expenses. There's going to be a lot of different changes to living expenses once you're not working, right? You don't have travel obligations and uniforms or whatever the case may be. And so you want to kind of start thinking about that in advance, even if it's, you know, you say, well, it's only 10 years away, but 10 years gives you a long runway to say Social Security is going to be $1,500 a month. Right now I'm spending $2,000 a month. I need to figure out where the other $500 is coming from. And it gives you, now you kind of start to whittle down, like, here's the goal, you know, that sort of thing. It's a process, that's for sure.
It certainly is. Great stuff. Thanks for the questions, Chris. Lots of questions from Chris. Great that Chris is thinking about all these things, you know? Lots of intelligent questions there. If you've got a question for us, of course, the first place to go is the Haven Lifeline. And a cool thing we now have with Haven Life, we have these cool t-shirts. Check out the new shirt, OG.
Yeah, I saw the mock-up of this. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's so...
It's a circus.
Yeah, so one of these going to Jeremiah.
Literally.
One of these are going to Jeremiah, but people that call the Haven Lifeline now are even throwing in a t-shirt. Well, we and Haven Life together are throwing in a t-shirt. So head to stackingbenjamins.com/voicemail for that, or Joe at Stacking Benjamins if you want to write us a letter, or you know what, just click the link at the top and there you go.
And we bought 400,000 of these shirts, so we need lots of, because they were on sale. So we need lots of questions.
Right. The shirts say Barry Sanders and they're Detroit Lions shirts.
Detroit Lion Championship.
Right.
1964. We got a hell of a deal.
Right. They say Bobby Lane. Right. There we go.
How about the shirt that I saw in, I don't know, it was on Facebook or Twitter years ago that had a picture of the Stanley Cup. It was a Boston Bruins logo. And it said, congratulations on the Super Bowl win, Buffalo Bills. It was like 2010. Or something. It's like somebody made up a shirt just in case they won, but put all the wrong stuff on it.
That's so
like
funny.
It was completely wrong. It's kind of like that shirt, only way better.
Thanks to everybody who's also left us a review of this year's podcast that shows people what they're getting into. Another one going on mom's fridge here, OG. This is 5 stars. When you're done learning from Dave Ramsey, this is by MCAT89.
Ooh, we are part Dave Ramsey, part de dos.
Still haven't learned anything from Joe and Joe Jr.
Yikes.
But Doug's trivia makes listening to their take on personal finance worth it. Oh, I do have a sweet tooth, so I enjoy dessert at all. Don't know what he's talking about. You have any idea?
Never heard of it.
Nuh-uh. No, but that's great. See, still going on Mom's Fridge. We love that. That's funny. Great review. Thanks, MCAT89. If you could review the show, we'd very much appreciate it because that tells people what how the show's a little different than the average personal finance show out there. And also, if you're in the need for better financial planning, Chris mentioned that they're getting ready to start talking to some financial planners. Well, guess what? OG's taking clients. So head to stackingbenjamins.com/letter O and letter G, and that will lead you to his calendar. Set up a meeting with him, and then bada boom, bada bing, you're talking to him about what it would take to get him in your corner to help you with your financial plan. All right. Go Stacks and Benjamins, everybody. We'll see you later.
So what did we learn today? First, own a yacht. Maybe you should pay the bills on it before taking lots of pictures showing off just how rich you are. Starting with financial security and then showing off just how financially secure you are is a better path to riches. Second, no matter whether you're a man or a woman, Fidelity's data shows that starting to save sooner and holding investments longer is the key to winning. I like that part about holding longer. Moving around all the time, not a great approach. But the big lesson... what's up with Hawaii? I just noticed they also have a big giant wall around them on every map. You know anyone from Hawaii? Yeah, I'd be suspicious too. Those people are slippery. Special thanks to Alexandra Tosig from Fidelity Investments for joining us. You'll find out more from Fidelity at fidelity.com. This show was created by Joe Salcihi, produced by Richie Rutter Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Kathleen Selmans handles design, newsletter, and classroom opportunities. If you'd like to learn more, head to stackingbenjamins.com/classes. Online, visit us on Twitter at SBenjaminsCast or on our Facebook page. Shannon Cowan is our community manager and social media guru. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and if you could only know what it really smells like down here. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. This show was created by Joe Salcihi, produced by Richie Rutter Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Kathleen Selmans handles design, newsletter, and classroom opportunities. If you'd like to learn more, head to stackingbenjamins.com/classes. Online, visit us on Twitter at SBenjaminsCast or on our Facebook page. Shannon Cowan is our community manager and social media guru. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and if you could only know what it really smells like down here. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. Special thanks to Joe's mom for explaining how these maps work. Amazing, but... that doesn't mean I trust you yet, people from Alaska or Hawaii.
So I think I told you before, my daughter is in Kansas City, has her first job out of college. In fact, she started...
the old J-O-B.
Yep, she started last Thursday. Congratulations to Autumn with her brand new job. So that's great. She has a boyfriend who is from Sweden. He was a goalie on the Arkansas hockey team.
Borka, borka, borka. Sorry. She's never heard that before, I'm sure.
I'm sure he's never heard that. Yes. His name is Oliver. And so, Autumn, we're in the middle of taping yesterday, you and I. Mm-hmm. And I get this call from her, but you know, you've got everything on do not disturb. So I can see the notice on the laptop over here to my left. So I just click off it. And during a break, I just typed out really quick, "Hey, we're recording, you know, what's going on?" And she said, "Call us." Now, boyfriend is still in school at Arkansas, but she said, "Call us. Call us when you get a chance." I'm like, okay, well, she and Oliver are together right now. So, yeah. So I call her up and she said, "Oh, I'm glad you called, but Oliver's in the bathroom. He has something he wants to ask you." And I'm thinking, oh crap.
I ain't got time for this.
This couple's been getting serious lately. They've been going out for a while. Autumn went to Sweden for 3 weeks. And it's funny, when she went to Sweden, OG, I told her, well, she told me, she said, "Hey, I'm going to Sweden." I'm like, "Great. How long are you staying? Like 3 or 4 days?" "No, Oliver's mom wanted me there for 24 days. Like 24.
Pretty specific.
You have never met this family before, and she wants you there for over 3 weeks? Yeah. And I said, "Tell them you can't do it. Tell them you want to stay for like 4 days. Like, I know kind of what's going on." And you're like, yeah, you don't want to stay that long. You just, don't get me wrong, my daughter's a fun person to be around. But people, what's that thing?
But you don't know if they're fun to be around.
Exactly.
And you after go on an exfil plan.
After 3 days with people you don't know, crap, after 3 days with people you know, you're like, yeah, you got to get the hell out. Right?
Talking to you, mom and dad.
So they said, so I said, "Autumn, this isn't a visit. This is a flipping test," right? And she got along brilliantly with them and it went great. And,
did she stay for 24 days?
She did. And Oliver's mom texted her still. They went shopping together. Like, they've had a great time. They did a bunch of stuff together.
Autumn's a pleasant person to be around. So yes. She's easy to be around for a long period of time.
She gets along with boyfriend's family. They're together all the time. They are great together as a couple. In fact, at Autumn's graduation, I told Oliver after a couple too many of these Oberons, I said, "It's annoying how much I like you." It's kind of annoying that I actually like a boyfriend that Autumn's had. So now Oliver's got to ask you a question.
But he's taking a crap.
Yeah. I'm like, oh no.
So it'll be a second. "Pinch it off, Oliver. Dad's on the phone."
So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to, you know, all of a sudden this little phone call has become a big flipping moment, right? Become a big moment. I'm like, I don't know that I'm ready for this. I'm way too flipping. My daughter's way too young for this. I'm too young for this. I'm not going through this crap. And so Oliver comes to the phone. She's like, "All right." I talked to her for a few minutes about what she's doing, about her new job, all this stuff.
You're like, this is so annoying. Like, yes. You just want to get to it, right? You're
please.
Like, is Oliver out of the crapper yet?
Yes.
I want to kind of get to the point here.
Yeah.
Great. Your new job's awesome. Okay. Yeah. Kansas City barbecue rocks. Okay, cool. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Get it over with. So, hey, here's Oliver. Oliver gets on the phone. Very polite young man. Says, "Hey, Mr. Seahigh." And I said, "Hey, Ollie, what's going on?" He said, "Hey, I passed my written driver's test." And I said, "Oh, that's fantastic." Cause he can't drive in the United States and he wants to buy Autumn's old car. Autumn has a new to her car. She's got a used car, but she has a new to her car. So she's got this old beater and Oliver wants to buy it. And I'm like, "Oh, thank God." thank God. And so I start joking
it's
with
yours,
him.
Kid.
I start, "Yeah, you can have the damn car. I'm like, we're not going to sell it to you. You can have it because I'm voided a heart attack there." No. But then he says, he's like, "Yeah, that's not what I wanted to ask you. I just wanted to tell you that." I'm like, oh, crap. All of a sudden, I'm off the hook partly, and he puts me right back on it. I'm like, oh, man. So joking aside, I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah, great. So what is it? And there's a long pause. And he says, "What do you call a fish with no eyes?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "A fish." And he wanted to tell me the dumbest dad joke of all time. That was what he was calling me about, was because he heard the dumbest joke he's ever heard. And he thinks, I know the guy who'll like that. I exactly know the guy who'll like that.
That's awesome.
I did not tell them what I was thinking. This is the first time that I've talked in public about what I thought was happening. But I'm like, oh, thank God they thought I'd like a really stupid joke. And they were laughing their head off about.
And then he's like, anyway, so we're going to get married. <That's right. laughs> Like, wait, what? Talk to you later. Bye.
Right. Oh, we're in Vegas. We'll be married in about 20 minutes. Yeah. No, that wasn't it. So there's my story.
Love it.